Pam Ivey, who is the oversees all the collegiate ministry for the Mississippi Baptist, he's going to be at our summer camp doing recreation. He's a ton of fun, and it's a fantastic time. Our camp is June the 21st through 25th, and I just want to share you a few reasons why we do summer camp. One reason we do summer camp is because Jesus went on retreat, and we should go on retreat too. It is an incredible time for students to get away, to disconnect from their phones. The place that we go has no cell phone almost no cell phone service. So it really provides an opportunity for them to disconnect from social media and to connect with each other. I remember one year one of our students said, I went through the 7 stages of grief over losing social media for a week, and it turned out to be one of the best weeks of their life. So students are changed at camp. That's one reason that we invest a lot of time and energy into going to camp. Students learn the gospel at camp. That is how they're changed. We clearly share the gospel at summer camp. Every student will have an opportunity to hear the gospel. Then it allows us just to be very intentional about dedicating time with individual students. And then the last reason, it really is a great return on investment. You will see that summer camp costs a lot of money. Our church invests a lot of money in summer camp. Our families invest a lot of money in summer camp, and it really is a great return on investment. The past few years, this class has helped send people to camp. And so Sandra's going to come and share some ways that you can partner with us. First of all, I would ask you to be in prayer. We need prayer for summer camp. Things are going to happen. Spiritual things will happen at summer camp. And we need your prayers that God would move in a powerful way in the lives of our students. And you can also help financially. There are students who will not, you'll see the cost of camp is, it's a lot. And so there are families that will need help and assistance going to camp. And this class has been so faithful to do that. And I just want to thank you for that. And I want to thank you for giving me just a few minutes of your time to talk about our summer camp.
Thank you so much. The cards that are on the table that Chris and a group from the church created, just to where we would have an idea of what goes on at summer camp, if y'all can take those with you. If a lot of you have children that go to summer camp and maybe you weren't sure if you wanted yours to go, or we encourage you, you know, for them to go, but we do want to make it possible for those to go. So we started this 3 or either 4 years ago for Teresa's birthday, which is June the 1st, and that's on this pink sheet. So y'all can keep that date. You may want to send her a birthday card, just love on her. But we have been loving on her by establishing a scholarship fund for summer camp in her honor to help those, as Chris said, that need help. And you can imagine with this after May 1st, it's $420 to register your child. And if you have 2 or 3 children, that can, you know, make a major impact on whether or not they even get to go. So if you would like to contribute to this, you know, you can make your check and take it to the church, or you can give it to me or Melinda McBride, and we'll take care of it for you. But be sure, if you do an electronic payment or a check, that you write on there that it is for the Teresa Sons Summer Camp Scholarship Fund. And we're going to try to, you know, it would be good if you could do it by May the 6th, because that's the early registration, and the families pay the least if they register by that time. If you cannot do it then, we'll take it up to, you know, they cut off the registration. But if there's any way that you can do it on or before May the 6th, that would be wonderful. And I wanted to remind y'all to sign in, that we have a large group of ladies some Sundays, and it helps if y'all sign in that we don't overlook you, because sometimes Melinda has trouble seeing everybody that's here because of somebody else that's sitting before between them. So y'all, just a reminder for you to sign in. Susan Diamond had asked for a prayer request. You know, Susan has a lot of different health issues, but bless her heart, she's been diagnosed now with, is it colitis? And then she's got shingles around her middle. And y'all have all heard, if you haven't experienced, how painful that is. So she would love to be here today. Okay, but Sarah, we're going to, did somebody say something? Thought I heard a voice, but maybe I left something out. Okay. Well, Sarah Lloyd's going to come share a lesson with us today.
Good morning. Good
morning.
That summer camp lesson and message really fits in with our lesson today. And it is such a blessing and such a ministry that y'all do, that we do, to help so many. It's expensive. I've been one that has multiple kids that go. I've had three before. I have two this year. And it is. It's hard to do for a lot of families. And so any of us that give to help, to contribute, is helpful and needed and appreciated. So what a great way to do it, and to honor Miss Teresa for sure. So anyway, well, good morning. I'm glad to be here. Of course, you probably can hear my voice shaking because no one likes to fill in for Miss Teresa, you know, and teach for her. But, you know, I love this class. I love being a part of it. I'm usually sitting way back there in that table and just listening to her. And I understand they're big shoes to fill, but several weeks ago she asked me if I could teach for her one day in May. And I took a while to think about that and pray about that. And then she realized she really needed somebody for today, and I didn't have as much time to say no to it. So anyway, I'm here, but I'm happy to help her, and I appreciate her for trusting me to teach today. But we are going to continue in the book that we've been going through, The Habits of Grace by David Mathis. We're in week 11 of this study. It's been 3 weeks, though, since we talked about the book. We had Easter last week, and then the week before that we had Patty Sue from Casa de Fe here, so it's been a little bit of time since we've studied it, but so we're going to get back to the last chapter on prayer before we move to the next habit of fellowship. But I did make a handout, and I honestly thought, I love a handout, you know, just like most of us do, but I really thought mine would be really simple and short and kind of to the point, but it ended up being kind of long, so I apologize. But we'll just kind of go through and talk through the book. The chapter is in line with retreats and summer camp. It's just perfect the way the Lord works. But let's just do a quick review. The first point on your handout, then we're going to stop writing for a minute. But what are the three habits of grace that we're studying and that this book is about? Who remembers?
The Word of God.
The Word of God.
Prayer.
And fellowship. And fellowship. Very good. And fellowship. We spent several weeks studying the importance of filling our lives with God's Word. You know, as Christians, we have to read it, study it, meditate on it, engulf it, just fill our minds with it. You know, we want to just lift it above everything else. We have to have time in it. And so we can't neglect the importance of God's Word. We spent many weeks on that. I'm going to put this down. I have all my scripture written out. The next habit we talked about was prayer, okay? And so we spent 4 weeks in that. Miss Teresa taught us on that. Today is week 5. It's the last lesson related to prayer. But we discussed how to pray, when to pray, what to pray. We discussed the discipline of fasting connected to prayer. We were encouraged to try to fast as we seek the Lord in prayer. The last lesson, the last time we met, we talked about journaling. It's not really a spiritual discipline, but that helpful practice in prayer, to write down our prayers and to connect the habits of God's Word and prayer through journaling. She talked about that. Helps us to kind of remember those God stories in our life. That's what she talked about. But the third habit of grace will be fellowship. And Ms. Teresa will be back next week to introduce that and talk about that. So I'm excited to learn more. But today, the chapter is called Take a Break from the Chaos. Take a Break from the Chaos. Such a great chapter. And so needed for us today in our hectic, busy lives. It's a chapter focusing on, and this will be kind of the next thing on your handout, the two spiritual disciplines of silence and solitude. Okay? Silence and solitude is what this chapter was about. And how important they are to our daily, regular lives. The author started the chapter describing the silence he gets when he's on the deer stand. And if any of you have hunters in your life or people that love the woods, you know, you can probably relate to that. My husband and boys love the woods. And one thing my husband always says is it's just the quiet. He loves being out there. There's no noise. There's no activity. It's just quiet. And that's how he started the chapter out. And so the chapter is to encourage us to find time for silence and solitude, just like summer camp will do. To take a break on your handout from the chaos and the noise of life. So that's kind of what we're going to talk about today, you know, taking a break from the chaos and the noise of life. We live in a go, go, go society. It's constant action, constant running, constant movement, lots of busyness and activities. And y'all let me know if I mess up. Cause
chaos and what?
Noise. Mm-hmm. Or crowds. Actually, it's chaos and noise and then crowds. It's crowds. Do crowds. Just put crowds. It's crowds, people, lots of people. I had both of them written. I changed it. We are full of busyness, activities. Of course, the seasons of life change. Our busyness changes with different times, things that we're in. It's noisier and more crowded at times. We know that activity can be good. We aren't meant to be idle and just sitting there. We're to be busy doing God's work, but we're not created for this constant engagement, this constant go, constant move, constant, you know, intake all the time. That's not how God created us. So he meant for us to have rhythms of balance, you know, busy times, quiet times, seasons and cycles, routines and structure. We shouldn't be in this go state all the time. The next point says, the noises of our lives must be balanced with silence. I'm going to say these words a lot. The noises of our lives must be balanced with silence. The community and time with others must be balanced with solitude. So we've got to balance both of them. The noise, the craziness, the busyness. We've got to have some silence. The people, the crowds, the work. We've got to have some solitude. It's got to be in balance. And this is nothing new. From the beginning of time, we've seen and needed rest. God rested after creation. He had a day. He gave us a day of rest to just sit. Brother Greg talked about that recently, the importance of the Sabbath. We see examples of Jesus, and I listed these scripture on your handout, you know, of just what Jesus did. In Mark, it says, now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. He was alone. Luke 4:42. Now when it was day, he departed and went into a deserted place, and the crowd sought him and came to him and tried to keep him from leaving them. Matthew 14:23. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Now when evening came, he was alone there. So if Jesus did it, we can trust that it's needed and purposeful and good and helpful, and that we should practice it. Time alone and time to ourselves without the noise. It's always been this way. We've kind of always needed that time. But the author mentioned kind of an excessive need nowadays in our modern times. He stressed those that live in urban areas, big cities especially, they're noisier and they're more crowded than they've really ever been. There's so much going on. You know, we're a little protected from that here in South Mississippi a little bit, you know, smaller towns, slower paces of life that kind of shade us a little bit from that hectic. But you know, I mean, think about if anybody's like me, I avoid Jackson at all costs, you know, New Orleans. I don't want to go to big cities. I don't want to be in around all the chaos, all the traffic, all the activity. But still, you know, we're not living in New York City. And he was just talking about just this modern time in our lives, the way we're ingrained. We just have constant noise and motion. You know, we My husband is a football coach, and we've kind of moved all around the state. Early in our marriage, we did, especially. We moved to Brookhaven 14 years ago to this area, which we love. We always kind of stayed in small towns. But 6 years ago, we moved to Wesson. And I'm telling you, it's kind of hard for me to come to Brookhaven after leaving and being in Wesson because it is slow. So it is good to be in a slower place. But, you know, we know that those urban areas, big cities have benefits, but with those comes noise and activity. His main intention for needing silence and solitude really was relating to actual noise and activity. But there's one other thing. What's something we all have now that really even 10 to 15 years ago we did not have that causes us daily stress and noise and activity and busyness in our lives?
Cell phones.
Cell phones. They're attached to us. We have them all the time. So we really don't have a break. They, you know, we can't deny that their presence, you know, we haven't always had what's going on, but now we have constant, you know, information, constant worry, constant noise, constant pressure, even physical work. You know, you might leave the office, but you are still answering emails. You're still taking calls. You're still doing things because you see it on your phone. Where we don't have that rest and that break, you know, from just the physical activity of work. You know, it's just different now. Again, big cities, urban life, cell phones have their benefits. They have their good points. They bring important things. But two things, and this is the next point on your handout, same words, two things that they don't bring are what? Silence and solitude. Very good. Silence and solitude. They don't. And so, again, this chapter is just trying to help us remember we're going to have to be purposeful with that. Our society and our world and our days are not gonna do that for us. And so Ms. Teresa has quoted, and I listed the quote on here, Donald Whitney several times in the study. And this is another quote that he has about the constant noise we have around us. He says, one of the costs of technological advancement is a greater temptation to avoid quietness. We need to realize the addiction we have to noise. And so the first step is just seeing, okay, we don't need constant, you know, noise all the time. We've got to have time where we can break and reflect and, you know, get away from the noise, you know. You might see it if you have children or young children. You might see the struggle to deal with the quiet. Some of them just need constant engagement. That's kind of what they're used to. That's what they've grown up with. And they just need to constantly be entertained because that's just the normal way of life. And so it's the time we live in. It's where we are. You know, I don't think we can deny that it's just the way it is, but it has increased our need for and the value and the importance of time alone in the quiet. And that, I think that's your next point. I think it's clear that we need time alone in the silence, okay? But silence and solitude are spiritual disciplines that we must learn to practice. And that's on your handout. We've got to learn to practice them. If we don't acknowledge that we need them, they'll just kind of go by the wayside, and we will neglect a lot of the growth that the Lord has for us, a lot of the work the Lord has for us, because we'll be trying to get through in this busy, crazy life without these practices of silence and solitude. So what does that look like then? What is silence and solitude? What does that look like for the Christian? You know, it's not just taking a break. Let's just sit back and be quiet. Although, I mean, that's not a terrible thing every now and then to just be quiet, you know. But for the Christian, you know, we want our time away and our silence to be purposeful. That's on your handout. We want our time away in silence to be purposeful. It should have a purpose. We should have a goal in mind for our time of sitting in quiet and to come back better. We want to come back better prepared to love. This is on your handout. To love, serve, and sacrifice in the roles and callings God has for us. So we need to take breaks. We want to have time alone, in the quiet, but not just so we can say, oh, I got to have a break. We want to come back with a mission. We want to come back prepared to serve well in the roles we're in, whatever the roles are. We have different roles at different stages, you know, as a wife, as a mom, as a teacher, as a ministry leader, whatever it is, we need to take time in silence so that we can come back and do God's work well. And we want to do it with fulfillment and do it what he's called us to do. So the benefits of silence and solitude, the benefits. One of the benefits to take time in silence is to give us the opportunity to search deep within ourselves. To search deep within ourselves. To see what we might be missing due to the craziness and busyness of life. It helps us reflect on our life and our heart and our soul. You know, it we can kind of sit back and think, you know, what's missing in my life? What am I not doing that I need to be doing? What has God called me to do that I'm kind of missing out? Or what have I neglected? And, you know, those are some important questions we could ask ourselves. You know, when we're going through this, when we're searching deep, let's ask ourselves these questions. What am I missing as I go through the craziness and busyness of life? That's on your handout, the first question under number one benefit. What am I missing as I go through the craziness and busyness of life? There are family issues, health issues, spiritual growth issues, responsibilities. What am I missing? Is there something that I've just totally, you know, am looking over? The next question we might ask is there anything I'm neglecting or repressing? Okay, I know I need to be doing that, but I'm just going to put that off for another day. You know, what am I neglecting? You know, am I spending time in Bible study? Am I spending time in prayer? Am I, you know, keeping up with my responsibilities at home? What am I doing? You know, what am I neglecting that the Lord's telling me I need to kind of get back on track? The next one, how am I doing in my various roles? You know, we all have multiple roles that we serve. You know, wife, mother, teacher, ministry leader, lots of things. How am I doing in those roles? Do I have too many roles at the moment? Do I need to take on more roles? Am I glorifying God in these roles? So these are, you know, the first thing that time alone can help us do is just reflect on ourself. Take a deep search. Time in silent thought and reflections, this is the next point, helps us get a good picture of the status of our heart and mind. We want to know kind of where we're standing. You know, we want to evaluate that. Be mindful of that and just kind of look at how you're doing with the work God has for you to do. The second benefit, number two, the second benefit it gives us is it gives us the opportunity to hear from God. Did I miss a question? About a blank? Where do I need to refocus? That was the last question. I'm sorry. Refocus. Where do I need to refocus? That was the last one. Get back on track with your schedule, your structure, whatever. What do I need to get back on track with? But the next number two is it gives us the opportunity to hear from God. Gives us the opportunity to hear from God. Our self-reflections and, you know, our internal thoughts, things that we're hearing, you know, those dreams and thoughts and fears sometimes can get drowned out by the noise of life. And we want to hear that. We want to kind of get back to those internal thoughts. But really, ultimately, we want to hear God's voice in the silence. We want to hear from Him. We want to be able to know what He says in His Word. And so it says silence helps us be less distracted and more focused to hear from God with better clarity through His Word. So that's really what we want the time to be. Yeah, we're going to self-reflect. We're going to kind of evaluate things that we're doing, things that we're not doing, how we're handling all of our responsibilities. Are we being faithful? What's an area that I need to work on? What are some practices I could put in place? But then ultimately, we want to take time in silence to hear God in His Word. God will make those things clear to us. When we spend time in His Word, in silence, it's like those things just kind of start becoming clear. You know, I know you all have experienced that and seen that, and it is. It's just like, but we've got to get in silence sometimes to do that. We've got to be able to listen. We've got to be able to be in tune with him and hear what he has to say. As we take time to listen to God through his word, we're able to respond back to him in prayer. You know, it's the connector of the two main habits we've talked about. We're able to have a conversation with him. We're more in tune and alert. You know, the first two habits of grace we've studied are the word and prayer. And silence and solitude kind of help connect those. They are, you know, they help us get focused on his word so we can hear him and then pray back what he's speaking to us and just have this conversation with him. And so just to kind of clear out the noise of life. But they're connected. And so the next point is, although silence and solitudes are not the actual means of grace, they're not the way to grace on their own, but they are practices. That's your next blank. They are practices that help us build and develop both the habits of Bible study and prayer. So they help build those habits of grace that we've been studying about and reading about in this book. You know, it's hard to know what God's saying and what God's doing and what God's leading us in if we're not spending any time listening to him and in quiet time with him and in prayer with him. And so silence and solitude are these practices, these disciplines that help us do that. And they encourage these habits to thrive. They really do. When we kind of put them in place to listen, to be silent, to be alone, then we're helping those habits grow in our lives and thrive in our lives. So good to practice. You know, we need silence and solitude. We need them. They bring great benefits as we seek to honor the Lord and to do his work. But be careful. We don't want to stay there. There are dangers. How could there be dangers with silence and solitude when we know they're such good spiritual disciplines? But they're such good practices. You know we need quiet and time to refocus and reflect. What could be dangerous about that? Well, because sometimes it's nice to just stay there, isn't it? Sometimes it's nice to just be in the quiet and let's just stay in the silence and solitude, you know. But that's not where we need to be. Balance is key, okay? So the next point under the dangers are they aren't meant to be the norm, okay? It's a balance. They're not meant to be the norm. We can't just stay to ourselves all the time, or we would not be good workers of the Lord. But the next point says they're similar to fasting. We talked about fasting a few weeks ago. And so like silence and solitude, similar to fasting, it serves a purpose. And it is good for a time, but it can't be the regular pattern of life. You know, when we fast, we give up food for a little bit so that we have a spiritual goal in mind, so that we can seek the Lord in prayer or whatever it is we have committed to letting be our spiritual connection there. But we can't just give up food forever. But there are times where it is valuable and it is needed. And so silence and solitude are like that. They're similar. Silence, this is on your handout, is like a fast from noise and talk. Silence, talk. Noise and talk. Silence is like a fast from noise and talk. Solitude is like a fast from people. Get away from people. All right, so silence is similar to a fast where you're not having any noise and talking around you. You're taking a time to just kind of be silent, to sit in the quiet, to be mindful of, you know, just what the Lord's doing. And solitude is like a fast from people. You know, they kind of go together. You have to be away from people really to have quiet. So it's this quiet time. It's like a fast from people. They are respites from the loud, busy, fast-paced way of life, but they are only meant for a time. If we stayed in silence and solitude, we'd never be doing the busy work of the kingdom. We'd miss out on the work God has for us to do. If we just ignored it and we just stayed calm and silent all the time, we would miss out on some of the activity that's needed. Now, I do think, you know, we're in a, like we said earlier, we're almost extreme on the activity. There is a way of coming back wisely, but it's a mindset that we want to be active in God's work. But to do that and to be active in God's work, we've got to be prepared internally and in our own self. So we need them to help us regroup and refocus to hear the Lord. We want to practice them. I think this is on your handout, the last on that bottom page. We want to practice them so we are fruitful and faithful witnesses when we are in the loud, chaotic world of daily life. They help us live well. They help us be a light. They help us be a faithful witness. Sometimes when we're not spending time in quiet with the Lord, we might not be being the witness we need to be. And so it helps us be fruitful and faithful witnesses when we take this time to be quiet and kind of be alone. When we practice them wisely, your next part says, silence will make us better listeners and help us use our words well as we speak wisely. So the silence helps us be better speakers. It will help us be better listeners and help us use our words well as we speak wisely. So the silence kind of helps us control our tongue, our words, our mouth. I mean, how many directions do we have in Scripture about our words, our tongues, our mouth? It's easy to get out of hand when we're not filling our hearts and minds with the Lord. But when we take some time in silence, it kind of helps the way we speak, the way we listen, the way we respond. Helps us be better listeners and use our words well as we speak wisely. Solitude helps us be better with people. We need a break sometimes from people. You know, it helps us be better with people, better fellowship, and better community. I mean, just think of the time. Think of mothers with young children. You know, when you have babies, sometimes you just want to get away for a minute to get kind of just have some time. But really, when you can get a little break, you can go back and you can serve better. You can serve more fully, you know. And so it's just the time. It helps us serve better when we take these disciplines and these habits of silence and solitude. They are good, but they're temporal disciplines to help us live out this life as more faithful followers. David Mathis, again, in the book says, and I listed this quote, silence and solitude are not ideal states, but rhythms of life to steady us for a fruitful return to people and noise. The chaos of our modern lives makes the advantage even greater. And so, you know, he's just saying that it's not something we could stay in all the time, but we need to practice them. We need to be mindful of it. We need to make times for it. So when then? How do we do it? When do we practice it? And what does it look like? When to practice silence and solitude? Number one, daily. Daily practice silence and solitude. Oftentimes we think silence and solitude just means you've got to get away for a little while. Take a special retreat or a specific time away, and it can be, and we're going to talk about that. But really, daily retreats into the quiet, into time alone, are helpful and needed. Time in the morning before your chaos gets crazy might be the most efficient time to help you kind of rein in God and His way and His word and help you prepare for the chaos that's coming. You know, you're more well rested in the morning. Whatever you call it, your quiet time, your time alone with God, whatever you call it, spend daily quiet time with the Lord alone in silence. Listen to Him, read His word, pray His word. It takes discipline, it takes structure, and it takes planning. I would suggest putting the phone far away, because again, that's one of those things that constantly is noisy to us. But take the time every day in silence and solitude. And it doesn't have to be long, it doesn't have to be a lot. You know, I think of a personal example in my life, I'm not a morning person by nature. I mean, I could sleep all day long. But I had to learn when I had babies to train myself to be a morning person. I think about it, you know, the kids were little. They were like 4, 2, and a baby. And if I was going to have any time alone, it was going to have to be early in the morning. It was just going to have to be. You know, I wasn't going to have, there was not going to be any more time. So at that time, I started making myself get up early. Time alone for myself, that break from the children for a little bit. Time alone with my husband, and time alone with the Lord. Now, the season of life has changed. I don't have babies constantly on me anymore. I mean, sometimes I'm just like, it's too silent sometimes in my house, but it's still that life is still busy. I leave for work early in the mornings now. I'm gone all day. That early morning practice still helps me find silence and solitude in the Lord. So find the time that's helpful for you. You know, and I can look back on times in my life where I've struggled, you know, or I've not been, you know, doing things the way the Lord would have me do. You know, I'm fussy, I'm complaining, I'm grumpy, you know, life's crazy. You know, I'm not being a faithful witness of things of God. I'm not being a faithful witness in my roles and my callings. And I can look back and say, you know, well, when have I been getting up early? Have I been spending time in the Word? No. I've been sleeping. I'm tired. I want to sleep. And I get it, but that's what happens. We get in our flesh a little bit, and so we have to make the time to spend time daily in His Word and in His prayer. Make the time to sit quietly before the Lord every day, so that you are able to serve Him well during the day. Then the next one, number two, when to practice silence and solitude is special retreats. Special retreats. Our daily alone time with God helps us balance the loudness of our day, but it is good to try to have periodic retreats for times of silence and solitude. So it was perfect that Brother Chris was talking about summer camp today. That's what summer camp is. It is a retreat from the busyness of life for our students. It is a time to get away. Yeah, they're with other people. Their friends are there, but they are. It's a separate place where they do have time alone with God. They have focused time with the Lord. Your time, our special retreats for us look differently. They don't have to be extravagant. They don't have to be costly. They can be flexible. It might be, you know, you might take a group somewhere and then y'all have your individual places to go. You might go somewhere by yourself. It might be once a year you commit to taking a special retreat somewhere to have time for silence and solitude in the Lord. You know, it's just be wise and thoughtful about it. What can you do? What can you make work? You know, in our life, we've had years of coaches retreats. FCA would always do these coaches retreats yearly for coaches and their wives to be around people who understand that life, you know, but to also remind us of the calling of a coach and the purpose of a coach. And it's like a time to reflect and a time to think about and a time to be mindful of why we're even doing this. So things like that, find opportunities that where you can get away, or just, you know, a special focus for, you know, silence and solitude. And then the last point was, so then what is it going to look like when we're away, when we're doing that? What do we want to do? We want our time to be purposeful again. We don't want to just go and just do nothing and not have any reflection or any guidance. Sure, it's okay to sit for a little bit and just relax. Yes, we want to take time to rest, but we want it to be purposeful. So how do we do that? What do we do? Number one, pray for God's blessing. Pray for God's blessing. Ask Him to show you what areas of your life need attention. Let His Spirit speak to your heart. He'll show you. When you seek the Lord and you ask Him for His direction and His guidance and His purposes for you, it's like they'll just start opening up. Ask Him for His direction. Ask Him for His blessing. I love this quote that he had in the book, and I wanted to put it there because sometimes this gets me. Don't assume the voices in your head are God's. Assume they are yours. To hear God, take up the Scriptures. And to the degree that your own thoughts for yourself align with what God has revealed in His Word, then take them as a gift from God and take them to heart. So you've got to be mindful in being in the Word and let the Lord speak through His Word. What's His Word saying? How does this apply to my life right now? How does it apply to what I've just reflected on, these areas of my life that I'm missing or neglectful of? So listen to the Lord's voice and let Him speak to you. Number two, read and meditate on the Bible. This goes back to our habit of God's Word. trust Him to guide your time in Scripture. You know, you could maybe choose your normal daily reading plan, or you might have a special focus for this special retreat. Usually youth camps do that. They have a certain book of the Bible they study, and they go in depth on that study, or they have a certain topic that they're discussing in their small groups, so that it's really focused. You might choose that for your special retreat. You might choose a special book of the Bible to read or study. You might choose the Psalms. You might just choose something yourself, or you might just continue to read what you normally read. It's just read. Spend time studying and meditating on God's Word and letting Him speak to you. Number three is sit and listen to the silence. He used the term, let your soul fall out. The silence. Sit and listen to the silence. This is when he said, especially if you live in one of those big urban cities or you're really busy, you know, it's important to just sit there in the silence. Just sit for a little bit. It is good to do that. Sit in the silence and let your soul just kind of rest. Number four, record what God is teaching you. This is a good time for the journaling practice that we talked about. What is He teaching you? Write it down. Let Him, you know, make notes of what you're learning, so you can go back and remember, okay, what was it that I learned then? And let Him teach you. The next one, don't focus too much on how to implement His teachings when you get back home. Resist that urge to start putting in place all the plans you're going to do to make this work. Try not to do that right away, you know. Let it just kind of think broadly. Do I need to let go of some responsibilities? Do I need to, you know, have better food for my family? What do I need to do? What is overall? What are some things I need to do? Kind of keep it broad. But then he encourages, though, as your time is winding down, then get a little more specific. Okay, how am I going to do that? How am I going to implement these? Then get a little more specific as you're ending your time of retreat. You know, figure out how you're going to implement it into your daily normal life. Whatever it is he's shown you, whatever you've revealed, whatever you've learned needs to be adjusted maybe. Spend lots of time in prayer, guided by the Scriptures. Let the Scriptures guide you. Maybe the Lord's Prayer, maybe a Psalms, maybe, you know, the high priestly prayer. But let Scripture guide your prayers and be in constant commune with Him through the adoration, confession, thanksgiving, and supplication, the pattern of prayer. Spend lots of time praying and focusing on Him while you're in your retreat. And then the last one was plan a time to reflect a few days after you get back. Plan time to reflect. Read your notes on your journals. On those coaches' retreats, we always had to write a note to each other about what the Lord taught us during that retreat, what he had shown us, what we wanted to do, what our mission was. And then we turned it in and they mailed it to us like 6 months later. And so Jeremy would get the one I wrote him and I would get the one he wrote me. And it would help us kind of reflect again, be reminded, right, there is a mission, there is a purpose, there is a plan here, and we want to stay focused on it, we want to do it. And so plan a time for that, to reflect back on what you're doing. And so, you know, again, this was a short chapter, but it was so important. The silence and solitude, I loved it. It's so helpful to me. It's so evident that we need it. I think we all would agree that we need to practice silence and solitude. He mentioned a verse in Revelations that one day, you know, he thinks the new creation will be loud and crowded in heaven in all the best ways. But he mentioned a verse in Revelation says, when he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. He was given much incense that he should offer with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. So there might be a time of silence in heaven, but it will be for worship and prayer and time to focus on the Lord, which is what our silence is good for, which is what we want to do. So one day this chaos and the craziness will be gone. We won't have to worry about it. But until then, until the new creation, until it's just silence and worship, we want to take time to practice this in our life. And so, I just encourage you to think about it this week. How can you have it in your life daily? How can you practice silence and solitude daily? How can you plan for a special retreat? maybe, devoted to quiet time with the Lord for the purpose of fulfilling His plans and purposes for you. How can you do that? Be thinking of that. Is there a way? How can you implement it every day of your life? You know, when we take that time to reset and refocus, we can rest assured God will meet us. He will show up and He will teach us and He will make it clear what it is He has for us. And so, you know, He'll help us be more fruitful in His work while we're here in this crazy life. He'll help us be faithful witnesses while we live here. And so I just encourage you to kind of do that this week as you think about the importance of, if we want to be faithful in our walks, to take the time, that discipline, to spend in silence and solitude. So next week, Miss Teresa will be back. She'll start teaching on the third habit of grace, which is fellowship. This was the last chapter of prayer. Like she always says, you don't want to miss it. It's going to be great. It really is. I love studying this chapter. And I know we'll all be glad to have her back next week. But I thank you so much for being patient and kind with me this morning and attentive. And I hope you'll have a great week. But let's go ahead and pray, and then we can be out. Lord God, we just thank you so much for the time together. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to come and just hear your word and to hear your thoughts, God, and hear your directions. Lord, we thank you for the gifts of silence and solitude, Lord, that you give us and that you meet us there when we do them, Lord. God, we want to be faithful witnesses. We want to be fruitful witnesses. We want to be mothers and wives and friends and sisters, God, who glorify you in our roles and in our actions and in our words. Lord, help us, God, to do what we need to do to be on path for that, Lord. Show us areas of our life that we might be neglecting or repressing, Lord, and just give us wisdom and direction on how to go about correcting it, Lord. God, we love you, Lord. We praise you, and we lift your name high today, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Y'all have a good day. Good week.